Oh, I don't want to lose it. snacks, will you go and sit at the tables, and the snack committee will serve you. So will you please sit at table? Now, don't go to the counter and the
And we certainly have a wonderful, wonderful day for it. Many of you have been recording the summer, well, in letters home. Some of you have wonderful photographs of different things. Many of you have written for the Catskill Caller and the Words for Workers. And one thing we haven't had this summer is a writing group. And I think that even though it's late, for those who want to try to record some very special experiences of the summer and get down, in writing, the real feeling of different events, I'd like to meet with some of you on that. I'd like to meet with some senior campers during rest period today. But I want people who really want to work on that and follow through on it. I may not be able to have too many meetings with you. I may start you off and then later on work with you when you have your finished things. How many in senior camp would like something like that? All right, so we'll have a writing group this morning. Now, I have a general idea what this meeting is like, but I know it's going to be one of our very best. We're going to start out with a song by Bob and George.
This particular song, I think I should explain a couple of things about it you may not understand. The lyrics are Bread of Heaven, and this is the song of a people who have been, of course, constantly oppressed, and this heaven sort of idolized for them all of the hopes that they hope to attain in the future. So that is really what the words mean, because I'm sure that it won't have much meaning unless had I not explained this to you. Bread of heaven, feed my soul.
If you ask, how many people were there on the ski slope yesterday, and what does the camp do with the money that it takes in? I think you'd be interested to know the answers to those questions. How many do you guess were there? Yes? What's that? About 600. 500? 700? 250. We get such different figures because it's very hard to judge. It's a huge auditorium that could seat 50,000 or more, and it looks small there. Of course, when you're up in front of the group singing, it looks very, very large. But there were actually 600. Of that, 270 were camp population. There were many campers there among the audience. Camp Hurley, Camp Gulliver, Lincoln Farms camp that came from way over on the other side of the Catskills, a camp of the Education Alliance down at Cold Springs, New York, and Camp Hurley near here. What else? Tapes, yes, which is a boarding house and a sort of a camp. Yes? Yes, that was the Prize Lake, the Educational Alliance camp. To go on to the financial accounting, all of the campers who came in groups, came in for 30 cents. The adults paid a dollar. We took in $214. Subtract $40 for rain insurance, because we insured it against rain. If the whole thing had been rained out, we would have gotten some insurance which would have paid us for the expenses. You see, in this festival, we want to break even. That is, we want to raise enough money to pay for all the things that we do. And if there were ever any profit, there never has been, it would go to the Sojourner Truth Fund. We pay all of the people who come to perform. We don't pay them very much, but at least it takes care of their expenses in getting there and so on, so that they don't have to lose any money by coming. And then, of course, we pay for the posters, for the publicity, and, of course, if you figure it in, all the gas and time of going around, putting up posters and going on trips to tell people and so on, I suppose we would figure that we lose money by it. But it's well worth it. Of the adults there, some of them were parents. Some were people who spend their summer in the Catskills, and some were local people who live here. And among those local people were people who came from a long distance to see the festival, from Rock Rift. I'm not talking about the performers now, but the audience, from Grahamsville, from Haines Falls, all over. And they'll go back and talk about the festival. And everybody that I talked to was just very excited about it, because there is nothing like it. There is no other group that is doing what you did so well, and all of you did well. And I think that we can all feel very satisfied about the festival yesterday. Of course, one thing that always bothers me, I get so many names, there's so many places to go on trips. The summer isn't long enough. I think that we're going to try to have some arrangement where we have 10-month summers and 2 months of school. Are there any? All right, if you're agreed, then there's nothing else, no other problem, so it's all settled. Next thing on the program is a song, I Walk the Road Again, by Jed and Mike.
Lucky chaps, we're very fond of rum. We walk the road from morn till night, we ain't ashamed to bum. Our feet being sore, our clothes being tore, but still we didn't complain. We got up and we hoisted our turkeys and we walked the road again. We walked the road again, my boys, we walked the road again. If the weather be fair, we'll comb our hair and we'll walk the road again. I tramped into Buffalo, I traveled all the way. I slept in brickyards and old log barns till the break of day. My feet being sore, my clothes being tore, but still I didn't complain. I got up and we hoisted our turkeys and we walked the road again. We walked the road again, my boys, we walked the road again. If the weather be fair, we'll comb our hair and we'll walk the road again.
Well, I worked in the Susquehanna yards, we got $1 a day. Toiling hard to make a living, boys, I hardly think she pays. They said they would raise our wages, if they do, I won't complain.
If they don't, we'll hoist our turkeys and we'll walk the road again. We'll walk the road again, my boys, we'll walk the road again. If the weather be fair, we'll comb our hair and we'll walk the road again. I traveled on for about a month until I got some cash. I went upon a spree, my boys, money went to smash. The devil of a cent that I have left, but still I didn't complain. I got up and we hoisted our turkeys and we walked the road again. We walked the road again, my boys, we walked the road again. If the weather be fair, we'll comb our hair and we'll walk the road again.
Well, now we're on the road again for a place we do not know. Misfortune, you are cruel, why did you treat us so? The devil that sits upon our backs, that's what makes us sore.
If ever we strike a job again, we'll walk the road no more. We'll walk the road no more, my boys, we'll walk the road no more. If ever we strike a job again, we'll walk the road no more.
Some of the songs of our collection came from long distances. Some were made up hundreds of years ago somewhere in another continent. Some were made up in other parts of the United States. But this song was made up here in the Catskills as far as we can determine. The devil that sits upon my back is the devil of poverty. The man who made up this song was George Edwards. Yeah, George Edwards' father. Pat, they called him Pat. His name was Jehiel, and he walked the road all his life. He just went from place to place, but he loved to sing, and he taught his son George to sing at a very early age and taught him many songs, as Pat's wife, George's mother, taught him many songs. And Pat Edwards was a great joker. The devil sat on his back, but he still could laugh it off. And this song is very much a song of the Catskills. Now, yesterday, I said at the festival that one of the arts of the pioneers is storytelling. And we have here a wonderful storyteller. I'm going to ask her to tell you a few stories of her childhood. Mrs. Robinson, would you come forward? People said, tell a story again. You know that story, and stories were told over and over again. And I'm going to ask her to tell about some of the tricks she played on one of the hired men, because she was a very mischievous girl.
I'm not used to this. If it was cows and chickens I was setting before, why, it would be very nice. People, it's a different thing. Well, I was born into a big family. I was the oldest of 10 children. And today, you children have everything bought to play with. We had to make our playthings, and we had to make our good times. That wasn't easy, because we had to be very saving. I remember I used to like to drive nails, but they cost money. So Dad used to say, if you want nails, pull them out of some old boards. So those were the nails I had to use. Well, then I used to like to play tricks. That was a hobby. We had hired men, and my father was a little bit that way, and sort of that encouraged it. And then I like to have a good time in general. I like to have fun with a little boy here this morning. He was feeling pretty low. I don't know just where he is, but he felt pretty low. I told him what my mother used to tell me. She used to say, "Now when you look like that, get the looking glass and look in it good and hard. And then smile. See which one you like to have people see you by." He didn't like the idea. But I like to have a good time, a real good time. So one time we had a fellow working for us. He had one hand off at the wrist. But he could do most any kind of work. As the family was growing larger, we had to have more sleeping rooms. And we had a place that had to be finished off. It had to be lathed and plastered. And rainy days, farmer does things like that. So my father said, "Well, I'll take the oldest boy with me," because he didn't get along with the hired man. He said, "You go and help the hired man hold the lathe while he nails them." Well, of course, lots of ambition, you know, when you're young. And I'd hold it up with my thumb, and I could move my thumb just a little bit. And that would make that lathe move. And of course, when he stuck the nail in the lathe, that nail would move just enough so he'd hit the lathe instead of the nail. So after a while, I got pretty worrisome. He'd hit pretty hard. And right underneath where he was standing, they had been an old stairway taken out, and the boards had been thrown over, not laid over, but thrown over. And it wasn't too safe. And at the head, at one end of that stairway, they were a feather pole of live feathers. And all it needed was a little air and a little motion to make those feathers fly, because the fellow was pretty well torn. And he happened to stand on one of the boards that was weak. And when I moved the last this time, the nail, he was pretty sore, and he hit good and hard. Down he went. And the boards went down. They went right down to the kitchen. My grandmother, she sat in the rocking chair in front of the wood box. And when he landed right in the wood box with his knees right up to his chin. And the first thing I seen was a fog of feathers. And my grandmother, she sat down in the kitchen, and she said the first thing she seen was a fog of feathers, and then something struck heavy right at the side of her. I never dared tell my father, and never told him that I was kind of to blame for that, because if I hadn't made him mad, it wouldn't happen. Then another time we had a fall. He drank quite bad, and he used to drive oxen. That was his business, to work in the log woods. So he got acquainted with a girl who was a church member, a real churchgoer. But he had been a real wicked fellow and used very profane language. And naturally, driving oxen, as the old woodsmen think about driving oxen, they think of profane language anyway. And he would get down at the foot of the bed and pretended to be praying. But his idea of praying was very limited. So it was sounded to me more like swearing than it did pray. Well, he had a young fellow that we were short of room at that time, and a younger fellow worked for my father too. And he was quite mischievous. He said, "You know, if we could only get a tack in that floor so it would stay there, and he gets down to say his prayer, maybe he'll shorten it." So after they all went to work that day, I went in the bedroom, and it had what they called ingrain carpet at that time, and it was sewed, all it was put together in strips, sewed. And I see there come a seam right by the foot of the bed where this other fellow had told me that he got down to say his prayer. So I ripped the seam, put some tacks upside down under the carpet, through the carpet. Well, that night when he went to say his prayer, the only word he got out was Jesus. The next next morning, he got up, they got the breakfast table. He says, "I'll tell you right now, nobody could have Christianity around that young one." He was quite disgusted with me. I don't know what.
What about the soap?
Oh, that is. One time he came, he'd come and he'd work a while, it's the same salt. And he'd go away and he'd work for somebody else a little while and then he'd come back again. So he came back one Sunday afternoon, he had his lunch pail. Men always carried their own lunch pail at that time. And he said to my mother, "There," he says, "is my lunch pail." And he says, "I don't want no pie and cake into it." And mother said, "Why, John, what would I give you if I didn't give you any pie and cake in your pail?" "Hot soap," he says. So that gave me an idea. My mother had made soap. We had had an extra supply of beef tallow and, grease from different animals from butchering. And she took a lye that we had obtained from ashes and made soap, and it looked just like cheese. And so I said to my mother, "I'll give him some soap in his pail." And she says, "Don't you dare." I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Well, don't you fix it so that he'll get it." And I said, "Why not?" I said, "I'll cut it up in chunks, and he'll think it's just nicely cut up and eat it." So the next morning, I got up early and helped fix his pail. And when he got on the road, he had a favorite. He was driving horses at that time. He had a favorite horse. He wanted to coax her up a little bit, I guess, so he gives her what he thought was a piece of cheese. And he said, "She spit it out." So he tasted of it. Right then he knew who had been up that, why I'd been up that morning.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Robin.
Now, if you notice this morning that Mount Garfield is a little bit unsteady and shaky, you'll know that that happened last night, because when you were all in bed, all of the fiddlers and banjo players played so hard that the mountain itself had to jump up and down and keep time. And that's what happened. And maybe we can get some of that back again this morning if Grant will get his fiddle and Harry Robinson will get his fiddle and some of you get your guitars and let's all get down here and just play away. Could we have some more of those chairs down here? I see a banjo coming up here now. That can join the crowd and we'll just have some playing. Any campers who want to join this, come right ahead.
right after lunch, if Junior and Middle Camp will come into the social hall, Norman will play you the tapes of your performance yesterday.
Take you a nice fiddle in there.
Hard to talk
about. Kitty.
Yeah.
Well, we both.
We're going to be standing up.
Why? A lot, what?
A lot, nothing, baby.
Oh, boy. Probably must be here and where you got to fit.
Yeah, must be.
Well, we'll get it. And we got banjos, we got guitars, both.
Maybe you just like me. Congratulations.
You get up there and do something.
No. Good old chicken.
Go ahead. What you going to do?
Grant is going to sing us a couple of songs now. The senior camp writing group will meet in the library.
Mr. Scooter suggested Sweet Betsy from Pike.
Now do you remember Sweet Betsy from Pike? She crossed them big mountains with her lover Ike, with a 2 yoke of oxen, a big yellow dog, a tall Shanghai rooster, and a one-spotted hog. Ooda-dang, hi-da-dido, ooda-dang, ball-de-day. They soon reached the desert where Betsy gave out. Down in the sand she lay rolling about, while wandering wonder he gazed on his rose, saying, Betsy, get up, you'll get sand in your nose. Hoodle-dang, fall-de-dido, hoodle-dang, fall-de-day. Well, the Shanghai run off and the cattle all died. The last piece of bacon that morning was fried. The dog wagged his tail and he looked awfully sad. Betsy, she's 4 and her old man was mad. Hoodle-dang, fal-de-dido, hoodle-dang, fal-de-day. Quite early one morning they climbed up the hill, where in wonder they looked down in old Placerville. Long I give a shout as he cast his eyes down, saying, Betsy, my darling, we've got to hang town. Long Ike and Sweet Betsy attended a den, where Ike wore a pair of his Pike County pants, while Betsy all wrapped up in ribbons and rings. Ike says, you're an angel, but where are your wings? Hoodle-dang, fal-de-dido, hoodle-dang, fal-de-day. Long Ike and Sweet Betsy, they attended a den, while Betsy, she was wrapped in her ribbons and pants. Long Ike throwed his coat and he jumped on the floor. I don't want you with me, I'll have you no more. A miner stepped up, says, will you dance with me? I will, you old horse, if you don't make too free. But I tell you the reason, do you want to know why? God damn you, I'm a chuck full of